Okay, we're still in Simen Reish Ayin Dalid. We finished Sif Aleph, and we're still in the Piskei Tshuvas. We're on the next part, going on the Mishnah Berurah, that says that women are also obliged in Lechem Mishnah because they were in the miracle of the Mon. And therefore he says that even though you find many Gedolei Yisrael, they judge favorably women that were not particular in Lechem Mishneh, still in all, in practice, we go according to all the Rishonim and Poskim, that all agree with one mouth that everything of Shabbos, men and women are equal, and they're chayiv in Lechem Mishneh. But there are those that are lenient with them if they eat a little bit of the Lechem Mishneh, even if they didn't hear the bracha from the one who cut the challah, because they're busy preparing the food. In other words, let's say, you know, as the husband's cutting Lechem Mishneh, the wife is busy tossing the salad in the kitchen, and he's cut the Lechem Mishneh already, and there's a piece on her seat at the table. And then she washes and just says a motzi on her piece of challah. So there are those who are lenient to allow that. Okay? So really they should be part of the Lechem Mishneh experience. But if not, there are those who are lenient. And at Shalashutis, there's more room to be lenient for them, even though according to the Iker Din, that's Shalashutis, they're obliged to have Lechem Mishneh. And you should arouse them to be particular about it. And at least they should take two slices of challah in their hands at the time of the motzi if there aren't shlemus in front of them. So again, so it comes initially, you should be very careful that women should be just as particular, but there's a little bit more room to be lenient with them. Okay, going on the next Mishnah Berurah. That, of course, the person making the bracha on the bread should tell people that he's being motzi them. He should have that conduct that he's being motzi them, and he should tell them that that's what he's planning. If there's many people at the meal, or for any other reason, it's enough if they have just a little bit from the Lechem Mishneh, even less than a kezias, and fill their kezias with other pieces of bread that are on the table to come to the shear of a kezias. But again, we said in the Chatchila, everyone should eat a kezias off of the Lechem Mishneh that the bracha was made of. In many families, it is accepted that even if the people hear the bracha of the one who's cutting the challah, still in all, they make their own motzi on the piece that they receive from him. And it's an ancient minig, and there are early sources to rely on that, and they are still good in being Yotzei Lechem Mishneh. That's the whole question. If you're making your own bracha, you're making on this piece of cut challah, not on Lechem Mishneh. If you're not making the bracha, it's more evident that you're eating from the Lechem Mishneh. But there are those who say, no, even if they make their own bracha, they could rely on that. And some even praise this minhag to make your own bracha, especially in big meals where there's a lot of people involved, that you may not hear the bracha of the one who's making the motzi, and it could be a big hefsek between hearing it and eating it. So therefore, for example, when we were in yeshiva, there's hundreds of guys were there Friday night. So, you know, what happened was every table had a sliced challah on the table. The person at the head table made the bracha, and everyone started eating their own bread, which was not Lechem Mishneh. Then, during the course of the meal, everybody got a piece from the Lechem Mishneh that came later on. So that's just cases of practicality. That's what he's talking about. And there are those who write that according to the primary law, even if people did not hear the bracha from the one who made the motzi on the Lechem Mishneh, but they're eating a little bit later from the Lechem Mishneh when they make the bracha themselves, they're Yotzei Lechem Mishneh. And according to them, there's no obligation on the person cutting the bread to wait a long time when certain people are delaying, but he can go ahead and make the bracha and eat. And when they come afterwards, it's enough that they take a piece of the Lechem Mishnah and make their own bracha, and that's okay. In other words, sometimes, you know, for whatever reasons, husband comes home from shul and he's hungry. And the wife may not be so hungry. Now, the husband got up at 6:30 on Shabbos morning, and the wife got up at 11:30. Okay? And he's home, and he wants to eat. And the wife's still getting lunch ready, and the husband is hungry. So you know that's a recipe for disaster. So they should understand that the husband can, and there's only two pieces of two shleimim. Husband wants to make his motzi. So he could make his motzi. You don't have to wait. Don't make a big deal about it. You don't have to. This is like a shalom bias law. The husband saying, "No, will you hurry up already so we can make the motzi ready?" Hold on. I'm still making the salad. The husband's getting more aggravated. So the husband say, "Okay, not a problem." So the husband just makes the motzi on the lechem mishnah, cuts it up, puts a piece in front of his wife's place. She's finished 20 minutes later with her salad and everything. At least the husband has his challah, has a little chopped liver, and he's already, the stomach's a little not roaring anymore. And then when the wife's ready, she can come down and have her lechem and make a motzi on that piece. And that is keeps the peace, as it were.
Maybe that's the idea of Kiddush at shul, to prevent that. So the husband's not that hungry.
I don't know. But certainly, initially, one should make all efforts to hear the bracha of the motzi from the one who cuts it, and eat and have some of that motzi. That obviously is the initial way it should be done. However, if you don't eat from the lechem mishnah, even though you hear the motzi from the person who's cutting it, you're not yotze your obligation in lechem mishnah. Just hearing a person make a bracha on lechem mishnah, if you don't eat any of it, you have not fulfilled that part. Unless someone needs to be lenient in a very pressed situation, you may have someone to rely on, because still they're sitting on the table where everyone's at, and they're supplementary to the primary person making the bracha, who is making a bracha on lechem mishnah. So it's a big biddy of it.
Is that like health reasons? They can't eat bread for whatever reason?
No, whatever. For whatever. There's not a lot of... there's a very small shleimim. I don't know. Not enough to go around. You know, there is something called poverty in this world that we are blessed to not know that at all. Not at all. And there are Jews who live in poverty. Right? And it wasn't easy to get lechem mishnah on the table. So I have two little bilkas, and there's nine children. So what? How far is that going to go around? So it doesn't... Anyway, that's what he's saying. The Mishnah Berurah referenced, can you be yotze lechem mishnah with cake? Two little danishes. You don't have any bread. Can you use two danishes as lechem mishnah? He referenced somewhere else and in the Beraloch, etc. And the Piskei Tshuva elaborates, and he bases on earlier rabbis and achronim that had the custom to be particular to not use mezonos as lechem mishnah, only bread where the bracha is a motzi. And the, okay. One second. Then he starts talking. Mishnah Berurah in the Beir Halacha discusses certain types of mezonos foods that in their days they'd use it for as more of a dessert, but nowadays we use it to satisfy ourselves. And if you're, let's say you're establishing a meal around cake, you could use that as lechem mishnah. So if you're having a cake, shal shudas, okay, so you want to have, so you have danishes, lots of danishes and ice cream, and that's your shal shudas. And there was a time where that was a pretty good shal shudas. So you want danishes and ice cream, and you don't want to have more challah. So if that's your meal, then you could rely on that opinion that that's your lechem mishnah. But they got to be like full Danishes. You can't just cut two pieces of cake.
So take cupcakes.
Cupcakes, yes. Donuts.
Yeah. You don't need a certain amount?
Well, because yeah. Nice. Or whatever.
You don't say emotes.
You don't want to bench. Let's say you don't want to have that much to bench. I'm just saying. Or let's say he will bench on it. He's going to have two Danishes, two donuts, and two cupcakes. Yeah. Well, then you will, with ice cream, with sprinkles, okay, and soda, right? That's a kid's kiddish, man. That's the good old days when we were teenagers, right? So you could do it. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, if there is no actual bread, and you're establishing your meal on mizonos, you should definitely take two cupcakes or whatever. And even in a press situation, if you don't have shleimim, two slices of cake. Okay? But if you do have one challah, you should take one challah and one cupcake. And have the two as lechem mishnah, because you could establish a meal on it. What?
Eat the
challah. Yeah, make, but also he says also have a little bit of the cake too. Okay. Alrighty. Next point. He then brings the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, who writes, as an aside, he says, then those who make Kiddush in the day before their actual meal, remember we said that those of accustomed make Kiddush and have a little cake, and then they go on to their meal, right? So he says, and usually at that little pre-meal kiddush, you have some mizonos. So the kitzer just says, agav, you should have two complete mizonos items in what you're eating. Shleimim. He just throws that in as a side. But you're going to have a motzi anyway afterwards. You're going to have two challahs anyway. It's all set to go. Everything's fine for the lunch, but you know your custom is you make a little kiddush before with some cake.
Should one grab two crackers when you make a
masi the kiddush?
Yeah.
So the Piskei Teshuva says this is a big kiddush that the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch says, and we don't find anyone else who says this, and his ruling has not been widely accepted amongst the Jews. Therefore, one who wants to be strict on him could be, but don't do it publicly because it looks like you're big Baal Gaiva. But in other words, if you're taking two crackers, you're not publicly, you know, saying, oh, guys, I'm having my mizonos mishnah. You know, just keep it to yourself and just do it.
It doesn't hurt to do it.
Yeah. But if you don't have any challahs and you're going to establish a meal on cake, then for sure you'd have to do it on that. So you could, if you know, let's say for whatever reason, you know, you thought there was a couple challahs in the freezer and it wasn't, it's lunch and there's no challahs. Right, it's absolutely no. You have a whole meal ready,
no
but
box of matzah.
There's no box of matzah, and your wife made amazing Danishes for dessert. So what you would do is you would take two Danishes, make a motzi on the Danishes because you're going to be koveya suda on that because you're going to have a full blown meal, and you're going to have the two Danishes, and you're going to have a kzayas of the two Danishes. And then you're having a whole meal. And as we already know, if you're having mizonos is part of that primary meal instead of the bread, and you have a kazayas of bread, you make a motzi in a bench. So that's obviously b'dieved. You should go to the neighbor and get a box of matzahs, no question about it. But if there's no accessibility to it, that would be a last resort, as it were. Obviously, if you have sliced challah, left over from Friday night, 10 slices of challah and two Danishes, you know, you should use the two pieces of challah. Obviously, you should have the challah. But that's that. Okay, next.
So one quick question on that. All the food that follows when you use Danishes, it's not the kind, normally you wouldn't eat that food with Danish.
So they make their own bracha. I believe so. Because the bread doesn't exempt that. As far as
the Danishes don't exempt that. Yeah. Sweet and
yeah. All right, I'm going to skip this. Aha. All right, now, what if you have a challah that's been cut, and you could see it's clearly not a whole challah? You can't use it for lecha mishnah if you have another complete one. One second. Oh, what if your challah, sometimes it happens, your wife makes a not very hard challah, and the truth of the matter is, if you pick up one side, it's cracked. If you pick up one side of the challah, the other side would fall off. It would break in half. So it's definitely not, it's still shalim, theoretically, because it is together, but if you would lift up the left side of the challah, the right side would fall off of that. Right? So that's considered a cut challah. That's considered a cut challah. That's not called a shleimim. But if you don't have anything else, then you could keep the two together, hold it in a way that it stays together. He says, preferably, you should get like a couple toothpicks and put it inside so they will stay together, support it. That would be the best way. All right, what else do we got over there? Okay, skip that. All right, that's it. Let's move now to Sif Beis and Gimel. There's no piece to Teshuva until we finish Dalet, and that's the entire Simon. Okie dokie, Sif Beis. Pretty short. Mitzvah lipsoa b'Shabbos. It's a mitzvah when you cut the challah to cut for yourself a prusa gedola, a big slice. Shetas speak low, l'chol ha-suda. It should be enough for your entire meal. That shows that you are showing love for the suda Shabbos, that you're going to eat a lot as you're cutting it. So whatever you plan on eating challah for the meal, especially those who are on diets and have to limit themselves to exercise, but for those who are not on diets and you normally take 4 or 5 pieces of challah, that's what your normal is, so cut yourself a zaftika piece, and that's what you're going to eat from the entire meal. Mishnah Berurah, Prusa Gedola, Sifkut and Vav, Velo Machzi Keravzin, and you don't look like a glutton when you're doing that. You can't do that during the weekdays, because then you look like a glutton on a Tuesday. But on Shabbos, where you're supposed to show how beloved the meal is to you, that's what you do. Kaven She'ena Osekem, since you don't do it 6 days in a week, you cut yourself a very modest slice. So we know that you're not a glutton. But on Shabbos, you're cutting a big slice. Then it's clear, Vadei Kavana, so certainly your intention is Shechaviv Olava Mitzvah, the mitzvah is very precious to you. Verot Selechol Harbe, and you want to eat a lot because of the mitzvah. Sifkut and Gimel. Eina Mesubim Reshoyim Litom, the people at the meal are not allowed to taste from their piece of challah, Achiyitam Abotse, until the person who cuts it tastes from his. Vim Yesh Lifnei Kol Echad Lecha Mishnah. What if everybody has Lecha Mishnah in front of them? They're going to be Yotze in his bracha. He's going to make the one bracha for everybody, but everyone has their own Lecha Mishnah. Yecholin Liton Afal Pisha Dayim Lotamhu. They may take a bite before he takes a bite. I don't know what's delaying him, but they can do that. Sif Koton Zayan Litom. They really shouldn't taste it before he does if they're sharing the same challah. Hayno Afal Pisha Nosna Botzeil Fnei Kol Echad Ve'Echad Eschalko. Even if the one who's cutting it put the piece in front of them already, but still they have to come onto his bread. They shouldn't eat it before him, as we mentioned earlier, etc. Sif Koton Ches Lechem Mishneh. If everyone has a Lechem Mishneh in front of them, Ritzoy Lemer means to say, V'oz, and then, Af Al Pishu Motziim Bebircha. So even though he's being Motzi them in the Bracha, Yicholim Litom Kodom Lo, they may eat before him. Of a main lifnei kol echad lecha mishnah, but if they all don't have a lecha mishnah, afal pisha kol echad kikaro sheyochum mimenu. Even though everyone has one bilka, some people give everybody a bilka on the table, on their plate, individual bilkas, but they're also cutting a lecha mishnah for everybody. So having one bilka, not good enough. Kulam tzrichim lismach al abotzev, they have to rely on the one cutting. Sheyesh lefanav lechmi, he has a lecha mishnah. And they have to wait to eat from his lecha mishnah. Ve'enam rishoyim litom kodem lo, and they can't eat their bilka before his. So again, If they have their own Lecha Mishnah in front of themselves and he's making the bracha for everybody, they don't have to wait for him. But if they only have, let's say, a little dinner roll in front of themselves, they have to wait to receive the Lecha Mishnah from him and not to eat before him. Sif Dalid, Sudazo, this meal, Friday night, Vishal Shachris, and of the morning, Yefshar Lasosam below Pas. You cannot make this meal without bread. Mishnah Brua Sivkot and Tes Suuda Zu Ritzayin Olar means to say Afilu the Dasa Mekim Lekam of Sim Reish Sariyav Sivhele Inu Suuda Shlishis. Even though, according to the opinions who say later on that for Shalosh Shudis you can be lenient, Shein Tzarich Lasol Dafka, it doesn't have to be Dafka on bread, but you can do it with other fruits or things like that. But Be'elu Shtei Suudas, but these two meals before and Modu Kulyav, everybody agrees you have to have bread. Why? Because these meals are Dehem, they are Ikar Kavod Shabbos. The main honor of the Shabbos comes out of the Friday night meal and the Shabbos day meal. Now, Im Yesh Lo Onus, what if there's a situation beyond his control? Shein Yochel L'Kayem Suudas Arvis, he's not able for whatever reason to fulfill the Friday night meal. Yidcha Suuda, whatever, let's say he was sick. He had a 24-hour flu and he really was not feeling well, but by the next morning he felt better. So you're one meal in the hole, as it were. So Yidcha Hasuda, push off this meal ad l'morcha till the next day. And tomorrow on Shabbos day, Shiocho Sholosh Suudas, you eat three meals on that day. Ubovad, but Shikadosh Balayla, you got to make a Kiddush at night. V'yocho Miyad Achar Kiddush Kizayis Mechamish, you should at least eat a Kizayis from the five grains. Let's have a little piece of, let's say you have a stomach flu. So, you know, remember the rule, brat, right? You only eat those foods. So he has a couple of crackers. At least you should have something, right? Unless your mamish can't eat anything. But yeah, you have two, three crackers, you know, plain, boring, unsalted crackers, which will not agitate your system. At least you should do that. Or, oshish revius yain, or drink a revius of wine, which would at least be a Kiddush Bangsu, but you still have to have three meals the next day, as we wrote in Simon Reish, Ayin Gimel. Okay, now let's see if there's any Piske Tshuva on that. There is. Yes, we have a little bit here. Sif Dalid. They have to be with bread, even if you're going to eat a tremendous amount of food until your mom is stuffed, you know, but you didn't have bread, but you had a lot of other foods. All right? You have not fulfilled your obligation of the Friday night meal and the Shabbos day meal until you eat bread. Because regarding the mun, we learned the whole idea of having three meals. And regarding there, it says bread. As it says in Parshas Bishalach, Moshe said, the mon, he calls the mon, Hu Halechem Asher Nosan Hashem. This is the bread that Hashem has given you. He's calling the mon the bread that he gave you. So you have to have at these meals a memory of the mon and the double portion of the mon. And the only way you could remember it is if you have something that is called bread. And again, and the second reason is we always know a primary food stuff at a meal is bread. Now, how about the next question are the meals of Shabbos, the obligation of these meals, is it biblical or not? So, for example, when the Pasuk says, eat it today because Shabbos is today, so there's certain psukim that would seem to indicate about the mon that's biblical, or is it rabbinic and it's just a reliance? But everybody says that women are obliged in these meals like men, and you should train children in these meals, since it's a complete obligation to eat and to eat bread. And therefore, if you forget ritzei, you've got to go over the benching, because it's an obligatory type of meal. As opposed to forgetting Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, in benching you don't have to go over because you don't have to have bread on Rosh Chodesh. But we're saying on Shabbos, doesn't matter what the origin of the obligation is, biblical or rabbinic, it's obligatory, and therefore if you forget to say Ritzei, you must bench again. And the Achronim speak in great detail discussing the issue if you could be Yotze, your obligation of the meals of Shabbos through Mizonos. Again, back to the cake and ice cream. And many people hold that you have to have complete bread that you make a motzi and benching on. But if you have, here it is, enough mizonos, where you're having a shear of kviya suda, where you're establishing your meal on that. Let's say you have six donuts on a regular Wednesday. You make a motzi and you bench on six donuts without question. Right? Everybody says you be yotze your Shabbos meal with six donuts. Right? Because it's treated like bread mamish. So there you have it. And you'd have to make motzi. So that answers the question. So if you don't have any challis and all you have is Danishes, so if you have two Danishes as your mizonos mishneh, you are definitely yotze your Suda Shabbos. Since you made a motzi on it, and since you benched on that meal, well, it's just as good as bread. It's like, mama, obviously you should have bread, but if you don't, it's certainly you are yotze. But types of foods from the five grains, let's say lakshin kugel, cooked dishes. Remember we said oodles of noodles does not get the motzi and the benching, even though it's a mazonos, even though it's a five grain, but it's not baked.
You could buy a bag of Oreos.
Yes, that would, but you have to eat a lot of Oreos.
In an emergency where you're somewhere in a far flung place and you can't get
it, yes,
there, you can always buy a bag of Oreos.
If you keep Chol Stam.
Oh, it's not dairy.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they found out. But yeah, if you can find a box of Oreos.
You always find a box of Oreos in the States anyway.
Well, what you do is whenever you go on a trip, certain things you always do. You take two little Ketan bottles of grape juice and you take some pita bread.
You forgot.
Right? I'm just saying that's usually. But yeah, you can even in far-flung places in the Caribbean, there's kosher pita breads that you can get. But not grape juice. but you can't be yotze your Suda Shabbos on kugels alone. Okay, next, let's make a point over here. You have to be careful and particular to really eat a shear of an egg. And more than that, of bread at every one of the meals. Lechol shear kebeya. Yeah, b'chosuda. When every ksayas, you eat it in the shir achilas pras. Okay, all right. You should try to do that. In a press situation, let's say a sick person, a weak person, you can be lenient, who hold they're eating a ksayas of bread to be yotzei the obligation to the Shabbos. So, okay, but you have a ksayas is good, but really should have a kebeah, which is twice that amount.
But you have twice as long, you say.
Yeah, as long as you're eating every ksayis in the shir of kedei achilas pras. So you'll have two kzeisim during this course of the meal and eating each of them in the time of kedei achilas pras. All right? And since the main chiyuv of the meal of Shabbos is on bread, it's fitting that the bread should be fantastically great tasting. High quality flour, real good tasting. It should be very pleasing to the palate. So be particular which bakery you're buying your challahs from.
Homemade.
Well, make sure your wife's a good cook and has gone to the Rebbetzin's challah making class. So she makes, that should be the best food on the table if possible. What if you can't eat the three meal of Friday night meal? We say you push off and have three tomorrow, but still have something at night. But what if he did not make Kiddush at night, for he was really sick? Then you make Kiddush in the day with the Nusach of the Friday night Kiddush. Okay? But don't say Vayechulu. Just say the next paragraph. Now, someone who knows that he won't have the ability to eat two full meals the next day, so let's say you know you won't be able to eat in the day. For whatever reason, you're not going to be able to eat in the day. Can you eat two meals at night? You're going to go ahead of yourself, yeah, as it were. So it's not clear in the post game. So you shouldn't do this only in a place where it's completely beyond your control, where there's no possibility at all to split up the meal. And certainly, it's under such a situation, if you are going to have a second meal Friday night, don't make kiddush on that second meal. There's no place for that. And certainly in a place where it's not a press situation, you should be particular very much to eat each meal at its proper time, one at night, a second one, as he calls it, Shabbos, Shachris, before Chatzos. Really, you should lechatchidu before Chatzos, and the third meal in the afternoon. However, there's a custom to be lenient to delay the meal, the morning meal after Chatzos, for reasons of davening and learning, etc. So there is a custom to delay it. Good. We finished the simon right on time.